Strategy and Insider, exploring future trends and their impacts.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Strategy and Insider podcast, your go-to source for exploring the future of health. I'm Thomas, your host and a partner at Strategy and. And also in this episode, we're very thrilled to continue our quest for insightful discussions with trailblazers in the healthcare industry. Today, we're thrilled to present another visionary female leader who is dedicated to revolutionizing menopause support and women's health, Nitya Dintakurti. Nitya is actually the founder and CEO of Unpause, which is a London-based company that transforms menopause care, leveraging cutting-edge technology and personalized solutions. She actually built the company in collaboration with the King's College London with the aim to ultimately empower women to confidently navigate menopause and to break the stigma surrounding this very natural phase of life. Nitya's flagship product called Coolzen is a smart wearable designed to provide instant relief from hot flashes, which is a very common symptom of menopause. Before founding Unpause in 2021, Nitya was actually part of the AHEAD undergrad research program at King's College, where she identified unmet clinical needs in women's health, particularly in menopause. It was also at King's College where she gained her bachelor's degree in biomedical engineering that equipped her with the technological and medical expertise to develop innovative solutions for women's health challenges. As you can tell, we're joined by another true pioneer in women's health today. So a very warm welcome, Nitya. I'm eagerly looking forward to our conversation.
Thank you so much, Thomas. I don't think I could have given myself a better introduction than that.
I'm glad to hear that. Hey, Nitya, you were born and brought up in India. And next to your family ties to the country, your core team at Unpause is also of Indian origin. And your key markets for your product are the UK and India. What does home and home country mean to you, both personally and professionally? And could you also have imagined founding Unpause in India instead of the UK?
That's a pretty interesting question, actually, because I think for someone who grew up all her life in the Indian ecosystem, understanding the Indian healthcare system, etc., and most of my family being there, I think it was quite a shift to come to the UK and really experience a completely different structure in terms of not just society, but also the healthcare system specifically, because that's what we're speaking about today. And I think it was happenstance that the rest of my team is also of Indian origin. It was definitely not planned. Mm-hmm. And I think I find it quite lucky for myself that because my team, a lot of them actually sit in India today and work out of there, I get to live both in the UK and in India and get to keep traveling. So it's my way of, you know, still being in touch with home. So that's a plus. But I think in terms of founding the company in the UK versus India, I think that would be more about the space that we're operating in. Menopause is something that has been very well understood and explored a lot in the Western world compared to the Eastern, if you look at it just culturally. So when we were looking into menopause as a problem and understanding, you know, where are real women that know what they're going through are, they did sit in the UK, in Europe, in the US, etc. Versus women in India didn't have the understanding of the symptoms they were going through. So for us to launch a product or build a company there would have taken us a lot longer because we would have to build that baseline awareness, tell people why, you know, they're going through what they're going through. And then once they have that awareness, then it goes into like, okay, I need to find a solution for this. And then we offer them a solution. So we thought we'd rather start here where I'd built that clinical community in the UK while I was studying. But also I had the support of a large institution that could help us do the very initial stages of research, evidence building, et cetera, that we could leverage really well. So that was really why we chose to do UK and why I chose not to go back to India and start there.
No, totally understandable. And probably before jumping into any of the solutions, looking still a bit back, because you have a biomedical engineering background through which you must have gained expertise both in biology and medicine, as well as engineering, physics, mathematics, computer science, I assume. How has this background influenced your approach to developing solutions in the end for menopause? And kind of from those disciplines mentioned, is there any one that you cherish most in your daily work?
I think you said it really well. It's the, what would I say, the confluence of both engineering and medicine that even drew me to doing this degree, because I was very passionate about the helping patients or creating better patient outcomes, but I didn't necessarily want to become a doctor. So I thought the next best thing that I could do was learn to build technology that could support the healthcare system and help people. And that's what I ended up studying. So I think it was honestly a very good experience, because as an engineer, you normally have understanding of only one aspect of technology, like say, physics or math or computer science. But because I did biomedical engineering, I was able to do all of this in the application in a healthcare space. And because King's is so wonderfully placed within multiple hospitals and some of the largest hospitals in Europe, we were actually able to see what we were learning, how it was being implemented, etc., which really helped us have this application mindset of how we were studying versus a very theoretical understanding of engineering. So I think that really helped, because I was able to see the application of all of these engineering solutions or any kind of technology that we were building, even if it was a simple piece of code, how it could be applied in a healthcare setting.
So you directly see kind of the consequence of the products that you're developing. Yeah.
So we could actually see when we had, we would do something called medical imaging, which is, you know, you look at x-rays or CT scans and you write code to identify abnormalities. You know, in today's world, we call it AI and, you know, a digital health solution, etc. But in a very rudimentary format, that's what we learned. So we actually get real patient data, of course, anonymized, etc., but we could actually see it happen. And I had a fantastic opportunity after my first year of undergrad to actually be in the operating room as a 3D printed rib was being placed in a patient that we built ourselves. So I was barely 19 years old and I was able to experience that. So I think that was unmatched as an experience. And I think the fact that I could be so close to medicine, but wasn't really a doctor, was, I think, what I cherished the most.
No, and I can totally relate to that. This is why I love being in healthcare, because the impact that you personally can have on society is just phenomenal. And can I just ask, because you, with Unpause, you develop products for menopause, right? Which is primarily targeting women that are aged between, I don't know, 45 to 60-ish, right? Well, you're still quite young. So I was wondering, what did spark your interest in this field? What, is there any one moment that, that kind of gave you that, that trigger?
I wouldn't say I had a light bulb moment, but I think it was a combination of many, many factors that led me to start building in menopause. As you said, I'm not quite menopausal yet, but I was quite keen on exploring women's health, because I felt like a lot of women around me were struggling with a lot of different healthcare issues, be it something as insignificant, at least it used to be called insignificant, like PCOD or PCOS, to something a lot more serious and medical, which is, say, gestational diabetes in pregnant women, etc. And when I was exploring these key different healthcare problems, we did come across menopause as another problem that, you know, say a woman mentioned or a gynecologist that we were interviewing mentioned. But I think a very important part of my journey in discovering this problem was the 5D methodology of innovation, which my professor Prashancha at King's College London really taught. And what that 5D method is, that first, the first D being discover, where you actually go out into, you know, a real healthcare or a clinical setting, talk to patients, talk to doctors, talk to specialists, talk to nurses, really understand the different problems they're facing versus going at it at a very theoretical level. And when we were able to collect all of that data points and information from various people across the world, not just in the UK or the NHS, and filter out the real world problems that people were struggling with or clinicians were struggling with, that's where we sifted on to defining a problem, the second D. And defining the problem is essentially picking a problem in a more systematic manner versus, say, something like, there's too much waiting time at the NHS. That's quite vague, right? But defining something very specific. And once we defined the specific problem, in our case, it was menopause, because I felt that menopause was a big black hole in terms of, or a black box, I would say, because there's not a lot of information that women have about why they're going through what they're going through, very limited options in terms of treatments or alternate solutions. And unfortunately, most of this crowd was actually struggling in silence. They didn't know who to talk to about it with. They didn't know how to help themselves. And I think that was really unfortunate to see. And I think the real trigger for me beyond all of these very compelling points was that my mom went through a really bad surgical menopause as well. She had to get a hysterectomy that put her in menopause overnight. And I got to see firsthand the kind of symptoms that came on. And she had this done in India. And this is during COVID, where I was back home with my family. And we were all kind of locked into a house together, right? Because we weren't allowed outside because of lockdown, etc. And I could really see the symptoms affecting her on a day-to-day basis. And at the same time, we were doing the research and understanding of menopause in general. So I could see both theoretical and practically how that would feel. And honestly, I was worried for my own future, because that would be me in 20 years. And I did not want to go through that. So I think that's where it kind of started.
Totally understood. And let's dive into menopause a bit deeper, I would say, right?
Yeah. There
are obviously hot flashes, which are kind of sudden waves of intense heat that is accompanied by sweating and skin flushing that are triggered by a decline in reproductive hormones. While non-pharmaceutical solutions are rather limited, there is hormone replacement therapy that remains still to be the standard treatment, despite its obviously associated health risks that come with it. Now you have Coulson, which is a variable that comes into play here. Could you share with myself, obviously, as well, but also our listeners, how this device works exactly?
Yes, absolutely. So I think to put it very simply, Coulson works in three simple steps, the three R's, as we call it: react, relieve, repeat. So number one, react, where it's able to identify automatically the onset of a hot flash episode using its smart sensor system, since it's a wearable and it's worn on the body. Number two, relief, where it provides a cooling therapy, or thermoneuromodulation, if you want a more scientific term. And this cooling therapy helps trigger the body's natural cooling mechanism to kick in and stop the hot flash episode from continuing. So you get immediate relief. That's what the user feels. And finally, repeat. This process or this therapy turns on or repeats every single time the woman has a hot flash, be it during the day, be it during the night. As long as she's wearing it, the device will detect it and solve it immediately within 45 seconds.
And what's the device like? Can you describe this? How do you wear this device so we can all practically kind of see it in our eyes, more or less?
Absolutely. So I would say, I would imagine it very close to your other fitness or tracking wearables that you have today, except Coulson is placed on the back of your neck. Mm-hmm. Using a clear adhesive that you can replace. So I would say the closest match to Coulson as a product is similar to your continuous glucose monitors or CGMs mm-hmm. that people wear on their arm. So it's similar to that. And except this goes on the back of your neck, because the back of your neck is the most sensitive location in your body for any kind of temperature therapy. So we chose to put it right over there. But of course, Coulson can be worn in different locations on the body based on, you know, women's convenience and how they feel comfortable. But we do recommend it to be worn on the back of the neck.
Cool. And beyond kind of devices such as this one, right, you also aim to empower women by enhancing their understanding of the menopausal journey as such. Could you share how Unpause supports women during this transformative phase, and also probably what you got as feedback also in that interaction with your customers?
So I think what we realized very quickly with menopause as a, you know, a condition or a transformative phase in a woman's life is that it's very multifaceted. It's not just hot flashes she's suffering from. She's actually having, you know, brain fog. She's probably feeling pangs of depression or lack of concentration. She's probably also having urinary incontinence along with the hot flushes. So it's a lot of symptoms bundled together in different permutations and combinations that women end up suffering from. So for us to truly build a solution that can help women through this phase, we also have to create a multifaceted solution. It can't be something that just helps with one symptom.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when we realized that beyond CoolZen, we needed to create something that was able to give a lot more back, considering women were wearing this all the time. So there was so much data, so much understanding about their body that we could offer them that can help through managing this journey of theirs. So that's when we decided to launch the next version of CoolZen, so second generation, if you'd like to call it, called Unpause Loop, where women not just have hot flash relief, which is the core of the product, yes, but also track things that help them help us, in fact, build a digital twin of them on our platform, where they can understand different aspects of their physical health, different aspects about their emotional health. How can they improve it? Are they, you know, picking up a new habit or a new medication? How is that impacting these symptoms? Have a better, more fruitful conversation with their healthcare professional to get the right help and navigate this journey better.
And despite that menopause is obviously a kind of a natural part of biological aging that almost every woman experiences, menopause does remain a highly stigmatized topic. Actually, research indicates that shame, embarrassment, lack of public awareness often leave women kind of navigating menopause in isolation and without actually adequate support. And when coming here, I also digged into a UK survey by the Fawcett Society that looked into more than 4,000 perimenopausal and menopausal women and found that almost half have not discussed any of their symptoms with their GP, and more than 30% did require multiple appointments to receive actually a proper diagnosis. Could you help us delve a bit into this issue? Why do you think menopause still continues to be such a taboo topic in our society?
I think it's quite unfortunate, honestly, that it's still very taboo, because since it's something that every woman has to go through, it's not really like, you know, a woman can escape it. But I think it has always been identified as a woman growing old, and that's not something people like or they want. So I think that's kind of the core reason why it was stigmatized. But I think beyond that, it, in a sense, is a sign of weakness that, you know, their mind has different issues, their emotional health is getting impacted, their physical health is getting impacted. And all of these things really add to a woman feeling quite embarrassed or nervous about talking about her symptoms and getting the right help, which is why actually a portion of the product offering that we're trying to build is really a platform where women not only get information about themselves, but also are able to ask questions to a healthcare professional about these problems in safer manner, where even if they have a silly question and they just want a quick answer to it, they can do that, versus having to bottle up all of these problems, wait till you get to meet a GP. And even when they meet the GP, thanks to the brain fog and, you know, lack of focus, they end up forgetting what exactly they want to talk to the GP about, and which is one of the core reasons why you see such a long time for women to get diagnosed with menopause, even though it should be quite a straightforward thing.
In a recent episode, we also had Professor Dr. Mandy Mangler, who is Germany's leading expert for gynecology and obstetrics, where we also discussed that about 9 million women in Germany alone are navigating menopause, each having their kind of unique set of symptoms. And despite extensive research around the globe, the personal stories and perspectives of many of these women often remain unheard, resulting in a gap of understanding the diverse and sometimes early onset of symptoms that they can't really relate to menopause as such. That to me screams really for personalization treatment strategies. How can we develop such personalized strategies to effectively help women during their menopause?
I think she's got it exactly right that, you know, especially women with menopause or women in general are very unique from each other, that the same condition is felt in nine million different ways. And that only means that every solution that we come up with can't be, you know, a blanket pharmaceutical drug or a blanket digital health solution that doesn't take this little nuance into perspective. And when you create a personalized solution, I think suddenly the efficacy of all of these different solutions that people around the world are trying to create will skyrocket. And that's what we've seen even with the product that we've built. So apart from being the only product in the world today that can automatically detect a hot flash, we're also the only company that actually personalizes the therapy to every woman. So based on how she's responding, we tweak the therapy from our side so it's better adapted to her. And that means we get a lot of better outcomes than, you know, a generic device that exists on the market today. So I think personalization has been at the core of everything that we've been trying to build. And I think every femtech company should definitely make personalization one of their core pillars, because that's the only way you see widespread adoption of such technologies.
So while menopause obviously, hopefully, is further gaining social recognition as it used to, at least in the last couple of years, it does remain also a significant topic also when it comes to workforce. In the UK alone, kind of inadequate support has led to 1 million women quitting their jobs due to menopausal symptoms. That results in a loss of, I looked it up, 40 million working days each year. So these figures do underscore, obviously, also the substantial economic impact of menopause next to the personal impact it has on women. Is there a way that we can kind of reshape workplaces that better support women during this transition? Because we cannot allow this to happen going forward, because we also need to ensure that workforce will still be existent and we have the diverse workforce also in future.
No, I completely agree. I think when I saw the statistic as well a couple of years ago, honestly, it shocked me. I went over it multiple times to make sure it's real and it's not an inflated number, but it's actually real. And it's scary that that's the number of women that are quitting, citing menopause as the reason. And I think that's one of the core reasons why you actually see most of senior level positions at larger companies not being filled up by women, because they're all dropping off like flies when they hit that age. And normally it's your, you know, mid 40s or late 40s when you see any gender person hitting that senior leadership role. And it's really unfortunate that these things have stemmed from actually a very natural thing that happens in a woman's life, but just very badly managed. And that has caused its ripple effect in so many ways. One, of course, the economic loss, but also the personal loss that women might feel when, you know, they've worked all their life to build up a career and now, you know, they feel like they're not supported and they have no choice but to leave the workforce. And they feel like that's the best decision for them. So I think recently the UK has worked on building workplace policies that support menopausal women, like leaves to help them with their, you know, symptoms, better coverage, insurance coverage, etc. But I think we still have a very long way to go, because women today are starting to face their menopausal symptoms younger and younger than they used to. So you start seeing women in their early 40s now starting to have perimenopausal symptoms, which means that it's more so important that we take care of them, make sure they continue to feel productive, have, you know, well-ventilated offices so they, if, you know, they have hot flushes or anything like that, they have the required physical space as well as the mental space in terms of support, counseling, etc., to do their best work. But it's definitely a big space that I think we'll also see a lot of innovation in the coming few years, where you see a lot of digital health companies trying to target healthier workforces, especially in the view of menopausal women feeling supported.
And since you are combining kind of two cultures, hence India and UK, within yourself, we know by now that menopause does vary significantly across different cultures. For instance, in India, menopause often begins about 5 years earlier than the global average of 50, 51. And women do face increased risk of conditions such as osteoporosis and heart attacks and others. Is there any strategy how Unpause does tailor its products and services, of course, to account for these cultural but also regional differences? And how do you do this?
Yeah, so I think that's something that was a very key part of our research when we were actually building the product, that we actually took a global view on how to solve the problem and didn't end up solving something that was a localized issue that couldn't really be taken to a different country or a different region. So I think in terms of the product, because we're personalized to every single woman and not a segment of women, we've managed to ensure that it is easily adaptable to different parts of the world and different countries. But I think in India, for us, the focus has always been and will be, at least for the next few years, to focus on the urban population that do have an understanding of what they're going through and the fact that they're willing to go out of their way to find a solution for it because they value that comfort and they value their career, etc. Versus, I would say, you know, women that are sitting in a more rural population working manual labor jobs like, you know, farming, etc., agriculture, where, you know, these kind of problems exist, they still struggle with them, but the value they put on it is extremely low. That means that they're not really looking for solutions. They are not bothered by it. They have, you know, other problems that they're putting as a priority. So for us, I think we've just ensured that our solutions are easily adaptable to different parts of the world, of women from different parts of the world. And I think surely soon enough, we're also looking to ensure that the product and app, etc., is available in different languages, easily accessible, you know, by women sitting anywhere in the world. But of course, it's all a process and we're still new to this.
But bottom line, it's a global problem. It requires global solutions that, however, need to be tailored to regions, countries, but also ultimately to individuals. And it goes without saying, patient and also customer centricity is of utmost importance here.
Yeah, absolutely.
So your long-term vision is also to support women through all stages of life, from early ages, menstruation, pregnancy, all the way through to menopause and beyond. How do you envision the evolution of women's health in the coming years? Because you are at the very forefront of pioneering this. What would you expect the next 5 to 7 years to happen in this sphere?
So I think one of the things that has been happening or, you know, will happen soon is the formulation of companies that are actually targeting ecosystems versus conditions. So to give you an example, let's talk about, you know, pregnancy. Just talking about one aspect of pregnancy is not going to be enough anymore. It's going to be about the whole ecosystem, including pregnancy, which means how is the family feeling about it? How are the doctors feeling about it? How is the midwives feeling about it? How is the pregnant women feeling about it? And solutions that cater to an ecosystem as a whole, which ensures that women or anyone for that matter within the ecosystem feels like they are being taken care of and thought about for a solution when it's being implemented versus just, you know, one stakeholder adopting a new technology. So even for us, we want to build that menopause ecosystem and be able to expand that into ecosystems for various other parts of a woman's life, more specifically the transitional phases that she faces as she grows older. So for us as well, we're very keen on not creating a product or few products for menopausal women, but a holistic solution that can help them not just with an alternate to pharmaceutical treatments, but also if they want to get on pharmaceutical treatments, if they want to visit a doctor, whether they want to speak to a therapist, whoever it may be within this menopause ecosystem, we're able to offer them that solution.
And I couldn't agree more to that ecosystem approach. I'm of the fundamental belief that healthcare, not sick care, right? But healthcare by and large needs to happen much more in the here and now, and not only at a doctor's place. But that means we need to entrench healthcare much more into the normal life of people, right? And here we need to see convergence of different industries into new business models where part of healthcare management, we also need to consider nutrition companies, vitamin companies, apparel companies, mobility companies. And there needs to be that convergence because that's what surrounds people. And this is where they can either live a healthier life and take more care of themselves or not. So that ecosystem resonates very well with me personally, but also us as a brand.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the only way forward, in all honesty, because there's no other way a technology can be successful adopted by a population otherwise, unless everyone within the ecosystem is on board.
Hey, and for me to probably also end, a last question, is there any upcoming projects, initiatives that you are particularly excited about personally or you as a company that you would like to share with our listeners here?
I'm very excited about the new interesting stuff that's coming out in the fertility space. And actually, that's a mistake. I think almost every space within women's health has been very exciting right now. Lots of new startups building very interesting solutions, from something as simple as a new breast pump to, you know, unique digital health solutions that help women navigate various different conditions that they go through their daily life. So I think femtech is definitely something I'm looking forward to in terms of the growth and the exciting stuff that's going to come on, similar to, say, an AI revolution in the next few years.
So yeah, Nitya, huge thanks from my end for this very enlightening contribution to today's conversation about women's health and in particular menopause. I do wish you all the very best for your mission to improve women's health and keep on doing what you're doing and keep on pushing boundaries here.
Thank you so much, Thomas, for having me. I really enjoyed our conversation.
As we wrap up this episode, my podcast team and I want to express really our gratitude to our listeners for joining us today. We hope you found the discussion both engaging and informative and ask you to please not forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform, but also feel free to share with your friends and colleagues. It's really that support that enables us to continue exploring important topics with experts like Nitya. So that said, stay well and we'll see you in our next episode.
Strategy and Strategy made real.